The theme of today's service has been called cultured. Say after me, cultured. And the subtopic is the disciples' disciplines or disciplines of the disciple. Father, speak to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So, there are two understandings I want us to embrace from this service. First is the concept of being cultured and the concept of the disciples' discipline. And I will show you how they are related. You know, the word culture means a way of life of a certain group of people. I'm sure we know that, right? Do we know that? So the culture means the way of life of a certain group of people. You know, like I was saying before we prayed, that sometimes I've been criticized every time Bible. The church is called the pillar and the ground of truth. If you're not talking about the Bible in church, I don't know what they're talking about. The church is the body of Christ. If we are not talking about Christ in his body, what are we now talking about? Are you with me? Every time you go to church and come back from church, there should be something you've learned. You should look at your spiritual life and say, I am better. I know more. I understand more. Are you with me? I am improved. Can we say it by faith right now? Say after me, I am improved. Amen. So the word culture means the way of life of a certain group of people. So when we say a person is cultured, we are saying he has been trained in a certain way of life. Are you with me? He has been trained in a certain way of life. He has been trained to have a certain pattern of life. Open your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17. Ephesians 4 verse 17 to verse 20. It says, and I read, it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts." You know, ignorance is not a small thing. No. Look at what he's saying. He's saying that their understanding has been darkened and they've been disconnected or they've become aliens from the life of God because of ignorance in them. That means knowledge can open you up to a dimension of the life of God. If you know more about it, you experience more about it. Are you with me? If you know more about divine healing, you experience more about divine healing. Are you seeing what's happening there? He's saying that their understanding was being darkened and they've been alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their hearts. Verse 19, it says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness." So he's talking about a group of people who are not saved. We call them the Gentiles. He's telling you don't walk like them. Because they walk in the vanity of their mind. Their understanding is darkened. They are disconnected from the life of God because of their ignorance. And they've gone beyond their conscience, beyond their feeling. To give themselves over to lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. Now everybody read verse 20 with a loud voice. Verse 20 with a loud voice. It says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Meaning, there is a training in Christ. As it were, he's trying to say, this is not what you learned in Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, or this is not how Christ trained you. You know, there's a way a child can behave and you will look at the child, or the parents will look at the child and say, "Where did you get that from? Is that how we trained you? You have not so learned us. This is not how we are. Where did you get that from?" So he's saying you have not so learned Christ. That's not what you learned in Christ. Are you with me? Yes, so there is a training in Christ. There is a schooling in Christ. That's what we mean by the word culture. Even in secular education, have you seen that phraseology where they say, "What's your discipline?" Have you heard of that thing before? They're asking you, what kind of training have you received? Or if you say, "What's your discipline?" And if you're doing engineering, you can say, "Engineering." They're asking you, in essence, what kind of training are you receiving? Because there is a way an engineer is supposed to think. There are things that he's supposed to know. They are non-negotiables. Are you getting this? There are things that if you don't know, you can't be called an engineer. There are things that if you don't know, you cannot be called a doctor. So they say, "What's your discipline?" So we can know what to expect from you. Are you with me? Yes, and that's why we called it cultured, the disciples' discipline. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
You know, as disciples of Jesus, we have our discipline. There is a way we are cultured to act. There is a way we are cultured to walk. There is a way we are cultured to respond in a certain way. Are you following me?
Yes,
so let me go deeper into that disciples' discipline. Like I said, when we say the disciples' discipline, we are talking about what are the non-negotiable trainings a believer or a disciple of Christ must have to ensure that they grow spiritually. Are you getting this? You know, when you see Christians who have been schooled in Christ and those who haven't, the difference is very clear. Very, very clear. And that's why we have different stages in Christian maturity. Are you following me? There are different stages in Christian maturity. In the same way that there are different stages in educational development. So we know that we have nursery schools, we have primary schools. What's the next one? Secondary schools or junior secondary. So even in the secondary, there are classes. Junior secondary, senior secondary. Or in for our international audience, those following online, there's something called high school. Praise the Lord. Then we have universities. Then we have polytechnics. Then after that, we have postgraduate schools. Are you getting me? For professors, doctors, PhD holders, PGD holders. And then we have professional schools. That after you've done all your university education, so when you want to specialize in what that company does, they can send you for a professional training. So are you seeing that in our educational development, there are different levels? It is the same spiritually too. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is the same spiritually. And your dream as a Christian is to develop. Are you with me? So I'm going to do a rough summary on different classes of spiritual growth. And then talk about the non-negotiable discipline to climb up the classes. Are you with me? Are we together? It's a long journey. God will help us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the apostles of Jesus Christ helped us understand this. When you read their writings, you will see that even though you don't want to agree that there may be classes, when you read their writings, you will see that there are different stages in your spiritual growth. Praise the Lord. And your dream is to grow. Tell your neighbor, I will grow. That's the aim of this teaching series, to get you to grow up. To get you to grow up. I'm telling you, the best of God is for those who have grown. Oh, no matter how much you love your child, you cannot give him your car to drive. Because you can only give him the best when he has grown up. Are you getting me? Praise the Lord. So, like I listed the stages of natural schools, let me talk about the spiritual school. There are different stages, and I will just list them out, the big broad headings, and then go into them one by one. There is the baby Christian stage. Say after me, baby Christian. Then there is children in Christ. After baby Christian, there is children in Christ. So you are no longer a baby, but you are still a child. For instance, a 5-year-old is no longer a baby, but he's yet a child. Are you getting me? A 10-year-old is no longer a baby, but he's still a child. And then, so like I said, there is baby Christian, there are children in Christ, and then there is spiritual manhood or spiritual men in Christ. The manhood stage. Are you getting me? Are you with me? Now, let me start with the baby Christian. So, there were people who they called babies in Christ. And there's nothing wrong with being a baby. When you get born again, you are born as a spiritual baby. When you receive the gospel and get born, you are born as a baby. Everybody begins their journey as a baby. And there is nothing wrong with being a baby, but there is everything wrong in remaining a baby. And the problem is, spiritual growth is not like natural growth. Natural growth is just occur. It will occur. As long as you are alive and eating, you will just grow. But spiritually, it doesn't happen like that. You can be a baby for a long time. Are you with me? You can be a baby for 80 years. You can be a baby for 50 years. That's what makes it different. You see Galatians 4 verse 1. It says, the hair, as long as it's a child, different, nothing at all. That means he can be a child for as long as he wants to be a child. You can be a baby for as long as you want to be a baby. Growth in the spirit realm is intentional, not automatic. Are you with me? He says, now I say that the hair, as long as he's a child. Why is he using that word, as long as? Meaning he can be a child for as long as he wants to be. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Are you following this? It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. So there is something we'll call spiritual, and we'll get to that. The Bible calls it the spiritual man. But he's saying, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So there is something called a baby in Christ. And one of the signs of the baby in Christ is carnality, like you can see here. What's carnality? To walk by your senses. The way you feel. The way things look physically. Are you getting me? You respond based on how you feel naturally. Not on what the Holy Spirit is saying. So who are babies generally? Babies are people who cannot do much for themselves. Everything is done for them. A baby cannot do much for himself. You know, as a Christian, people are, when people get born again, they are born as babies. Everything has to be done for them. A baby has to be checked constantly. Checked on constantly. If you have ever taken care of a baby or maybe your sister's child, you know that once you are not hearing the sound of your baby, and you cannot hear their voice run up and down, you have to run and check them. Are you following what I'm saying? You cannot just leave a baby to just go. Almost every second of a baby's life, somebody is with the child. Once you cannot see the child and the child is quiet, there may be a problem. He may be washing your laptop. What are you doing, Lord? Mommy, I'm washing. I'm washing. He may be drinking kerosene. I say, water. That's a baby. Are you with me? You don't leave a baby unattended to. Spiritual babies, you cannot leave them on their own. If you don't follow them up, they must be followed up, called constantly, checked on constantly. If they miss church 2 times and you don't go and follow them up, that may be the last. You may never see them again. If you don't run, sometimes you have to run and carry them. Say, you must follow me today. And let me tell you something. We are not to criticize babies. We are responsible for babies. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you discover, maybe if you discover you are the kind of Christian that every time, if they don't follow you up, they don't check on you, you are not serious about the Lord. It's a sign of spiritual babyhood. We are not saying it's bad, but we are saying it's wrong to remain there for too long. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Then for us, when you notice somebody is a baby in Christ, your job is not to criticize the baby. Your job is not to shout at the baby. Your job is not to get angry with the baby. Are you with me? Your job is to be responsible for the baby. You pray for the baby. You follow up the baby. You call the baby. You encourage the baby. Are you with me? Some other signs of babyhood. Innocence. Now, a baby is innocent. Once you see a newborn baby or a baby generally from 1 year old to 3 or 4 years old, one of the things you see in their eyes is they don't know. They are innocent. Sometimes it's so beautiful. A baby's innocence is so beautiful. You put your finger, the baby will just grab it. It's so nice, right? And even though this innocence belongs to the babyhood of Christianity, it's one characteristic you should not outgrow. You should not outgrow it. A truly born again Christian, a baby in Christ, is full of faith, willing and ready to learn, always having that teachable spirit. That's why when you're trying to teach children language, they will tell you, start when the child is a baby. One day I was praying. I stood up in the night. I saw my daughter just stand up and do the same thing. I say, yes, yes. That's right. Not that know-it-all attitude. Some people, because they have been in church for a long time, they have embraced that know-it-all attitude. Nobody can teach them. That one, according to Kenneth Hagin, only God can help them. And another thing about babies is they are ignorant. And if you have noticed children or babies of that age, everything they pick is for their mouth. Everything, key, toy, remote, even the rag, if you're not careful, I've heard of children who died because of things like that. So you have to be careful. What are they feeding on? You know, there was a guy I and Jennifer was trying to minister to one time. He's no longer in the city of Abuja. That guy, oh, everything he sees, he's interested. He will come and meet me. Say, Pastor, what do you think about zodiac signs? That I'll be reading books on zodiac. You want to tell him, stop consuming. You can't put everything you see in your mouth. Say, if you look at your hand, there are some signs of the zodiac that connect to the sun. I'm like, stop reading those books. You are poisoning your mind. You are poisoning your spirit. Everything. Praise the Lord. For a baby, everything is correct. Everybody is deep. Everybody is making sense. Everything, word. Word. Everything, they are swallowing like that. They have not grown to have the discernment to say, no, no, this is not for me. Have you not seen children who want to put their hand inside fire? It says, looking yellow is nice. Then when they go close, they have been impacted with knowledge more. Ignorance. Also, in babyhood Christianity, something that is also common to natural babies is irritability. Babies are easily spoiled. And when they are spoiled, they become irritable. Meaning, if you have taken care of a newborn baby, any little thing can cause discomfort. Just let NEPA just take light now. That sleep, they'll wake up. They'll start crying. And where I stay, there's a man that has a newborn baby close to me. That gen is on 24 hours. Once NEPA takes light, you just hear groom. We now say it's about to begin. Groom, groom. Once it finishes, he has gone to buy fuel. He comes back with two or three jerry cans full of fuel because the baby is irritable, easily annoyed, easily distracted, easily frustrated. Are you getting me? Easily frustrated, easily hot. Every little discomfort, the baby will start crying. Sometimes, you are telling the child, I'm coming. The child does not understand I'm coming. Mommy, mommy, I'm coming. Let me just pick up something and come back. No. The baby is crying. No, no. They cannot be patient. Irritable. Do you know that there are baby Christians like that? Everybody just go to a church. You just came. The usher said, no, don't sit here. Sit here. How would they talk to me like that? Well, I don't like when they talk to me. Easily hurt. Easily distracted. Oh, this service is too long. Easily distracted. 10 minutes. They're tired. You give baby food to eat. Before the baby eats that food, you run up, you run down. Hey, you will dance. You will dance with the baby. Ah, open your mouth, do like this. Because you can't just get her to sit down or get him to sit down. And there are Christians like that. Ah, Jesus. They always want you to pet them. Kenny Hagin told a story about a church he was pastoring for about 8 years. And after a while, there were two women in the church. These two women, they don't come to church except they are called. And after their call, if they miss church and you don't come to visit them, they get angry. And they said they are not coming again. And Ken Hagin said, for 1 year, he was constantly going to visit them. Every Sunday, he would go and encourage them. You know, you need to come. You know, the word of God, you need to. Then after 13 months, he told the other pastor, I'm not going to see those women again. Now, he said the reason why he stopped was because he discovered that after a while, there were other new people that were coming that needed more encouragement than those people. Those people were supposed to have joined him to go and encourage those ones, yet they were still needing encouragement. Are you with me? One of the reasons why God needs you to leave babyhood Christianity is because a time can come where all the beds in the spiritual nursery of the church is taken by babies who don't want to become adults. All the beds for babies, they are still there. By the time they ought to be taking care of other babies, they say, no, don't take the milk from me. I want to suck. Don't take the milk from me. Don't take it from me. Don't take the bottle from me. Have you seen things like that where a family gives birth to another child and they are taking care of this newborn baby and this one that has been there maybe 2 years old is angry. Mommy, carry me. So we are carrying your brother. No, keep him down and carry me. You're already 2 years old, or sometimes 3 or 4. You want to be carried. Who will carry your junior sister? Say, no, keep him down. Keep him on the floor. Carry me. That's how some Christians are. When I ought to be carrying others, they still want to be carried. They still want to be petted. Are you with me? At a point, you ought to be weaned. You should be weaned from breast milk. Weaned from the breast. Go and start eating food and making food for your younger brother. Are you with me? You will see, you know, Genesis 21 verse 8. It says, and the child grew. That was talking about Abraham and Isaac. So this was Isaac now. The Bible says, and the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. There ought to be that weaning day. A great day where you say, he's no longer a baby. This one, no. There's a day should come where they are not. Now, I'm not saying that being a baby is bad. But when after 3 years in church, 4 years in church, you are still like that, there's a problem. Are you with me? There are some people that even after this service, I'm still going to encourage them, no matter what they say. Pastor, I'm not a baby. I will come and encourage you. I will be there for you. But a time will come, maybe in the next 1 year, in the next 2 years, I say, okay, you now, follow me. Let's encourage that other person. Are you getting this? Let's check up on this person. Let's be there for that person. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You shout at the baby, you start crying. You collect the toy from the baby, you start crying. There are things like that also in church. Oh, there are things like that in church. Pastor just passed me, didn't even look at me. He looked at the way pastor just looked at me like this. Why will he shout at us like that? Now, I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm not trying to excuse arrogance. But a time should come where you should understand what's the burden on the heart of the Lord? What's the burden on the heart of the pastor? What's going on? In a way all things are being equal. Are you with me? You are growing. I have a lot of stories to tell you. But we're out of time, so I'll just move on. So what is the solution to move out of babyhood? 1 Peter 2 verse 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So how do they grow out of babyhood Christianity? Spiritual feeding. That means for us, our job is to get all the babies to the point where they can hear the word of God. Let me tell you something. As a spiritual leader, anybody who does not take the word of God serious, I don't take you serious. You know, there's some people, once the word of God starts, they'll just stand up. They'll start moving up and down. They're like those children that you cannot sit down and feed them in one place. You must follow them. You run to this place. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. They can't stay in one place. Once, two hours teaching or 1 hour teaching, how many things did they write down? How many times were they awake, sitting down, listening to the word of God? It may just be 15 minutes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I knew that today, this teaching will be a very sober sermon. Everywhere you're quiet. The pastor came with arrows, shots from his quiver for us. I love you. I want you to become soldiers. I want us to grow. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That's how to move. So, this is culture in here, right?
Yes,
are you seeing training here? So, there's another stage called children in Christ. Now, these guys who are children in Christ, they are no longer babies. They are children. So, there are some things they can do for themselves. They have made some improvement. They have made some progress. But you see here, you see the phase called the child in Christ or children in Christ. That's the longest phase. Is the longest phase, both naturally and spiritually. So at age 4 or age 5, you may no longer be a baby, but you are a child till almost age 20. You are a teenager, but you are a child. There are things that you see a teenager do. You see, you be now picking, you be. Are you getting what I'm saying? From that age 5 to age 20, before he begins to get himself, before he can become completely independent. So even in spiritual growth, the childhood phase is the longest phase. Ephesians 4 verse 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So first of all, as you can see, children are tossed to and fro. Number one sign of children, unsteadiness and unreliable. You can't you can't depend on what they are saying. You cannot give them something and say, oh, go and do this. No, they will disappoint you. Don't be. Jesus told Peter. Peter said, Master, I will not deny you. Master, I'm going to kill the world for you. Master. Jesus said, calm down, calm down. Before the cook crossed thrice, you go slide me. He said, Master, me? Do you know who I am? He said, you will slide me. Now, God sees my heart. I'm not saying this to get at anybody. I've been in this thing for a long time. We all have been in it for a long time. I have slide people. As a spiritual child. Oh, God. Let me tell you one popular one that people do. I will pray for you. They tell you, I'm praying for you. Hi. Holy Ghost go wake them up to pray. Say, Lord, we shall see in the morning. Sky Daddy, I love you. You can't count on them. I was reading the book Growing Up Spiritually by Kenny Hagin. He said his son, 10-year-old son, they were mowing the grass, like trimming the grass. And then he was so excited. You know that thing they push like that? And it looks nice, right? And the boy was so excited as he was pushing it and to clear the grass, clear one side. And he was like, Daddy, leave it for me. I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. And the dad said, are you that excited? He said, yes, I will do it. I like it. So the dad led for him and went out. 4 hours later, the boy did only one and left it. Left the whole thing there. That's a child. The Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. He told Peter, I know you will deny me, but don't worry. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He says, Peter, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. You know, when a person is a child spiritually, at any push, they can easily fall. Something can just happen. Why didn't you get this done? I was just... And also, temptations, they can easily give in. Are you with me? The slightest temptation, they just fall. I don't know what happened. I just fell for this thing again. I don't know what happened. So, as a spiritual leader, my job is not to look at you and say, oh, what's wrong with you? No. It's okay. What can we do about it? Encourage the person. Are you with me? Yes, strengthen the person. Strengthen. And sometimes it's to say, no, that was wrong. You know, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, not in the heart of a baby. Proverbs 22 verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far. Also, another sign of babyhood is curiosity. A baby wants to know about everything. Everything you ask you question. Mommy, why is your face like that? Mommy, what is your name? Mommy, how old are you? When my wife was pregnant, she used to go and teach at the children's church in Port Harcourt. Then one child just came and said, why is your stomach big? It's too big. My wife was like, there is a baby inside. Why is the baby inside? Shouldn't the baby be outside? He said, the baby is developing. He said, no, it should not develop. It should stay here with us. Why is he going to hide inside? Is he playing hide and seek? The boy was just asking questions upon questions, curiosity. So also children, they want to know about everything. All the gist happening in the church, they want to know. Once they're talking somewhere, say, what's going on? I want to hear. How? What did happen? They say, go. No, I want to hear. What's going on? Tell me now. Curiosity. Everywhere is quiet. Say, Pastor, I'm discipling you. Just see. God sees my heart. I'm not, this thing I'm teaching, I'm doing. God sees, I'm not here to shame anybody. My job is not to say, this one is okay, this one is not okay. My whole job is to build everybody. Are you with me? Yes, sir. So like in a short while, you also will be partnering with me to build other people. Are you getting me? Yes, with this kind of teaching, by the time you come and say, have you heard? That sister. You say, okay, you are still a child, Abby. But they will just pour water on that gossip you want to spread and it will stop there. Did you hear what happened to that brother? Hey, Pastor was even shouting at him. Pastor, God, have you seen it in this church? She keep quiet. It doesn't concern you. Stay out of what's not your business. Stay out of what's not your business. Even, you know the funny thing? Interestingly, there are ministers like this. People who are pastors. And, you know, as a minister of the gospel, I have a lot of minister friends. And sometimes, there are some of them I avoid. Because every time you meet them, they want to talk about, did you hear what happened to that pastor? That pastor was caught in adultery. Things are happening, you know. We need to pray. They will not pray. We need to pray for the body of Christ. We need to really, really pray. We need to pray. Things are happening. Okay, what is happening? Have you heard? They will start talking. Time for prayer. 2 minutes prayer. It's done. It's done. I thought you said we need to pray. Those who are close to me, who are spiritual sons to me, I tell them, face your work. You're always everywhere jumping. Hey, that one has bought land. That one has bought car. And then you see this one's jeep. Have you seen? They're always curious. They want to just get into people's matters. And involve living the matter that God has for them. Number three, babies are always talking. Talking. You know, there's a way your child will talk. As a point, it's like, we need to shut up. always talking. Guess what? Baby Christians are the same. Always talking. Always talking. You correct them and say, no, I want to clear the air. I just want to say my mind. Always talking. I know God. The way God will do it, God will orchestrate it in many ways. You won't have a chance to talk. Ah, that's part of the ways He trains you to be a man. I remember one day. I can explain to you because I know how God does these things. I've been around for a while. At some point, I was a music director in a church. This was 8 years ago. And I don't know what happened. The pastor came to the church angry. And he stood on the choir, on the altar, and said, the choir was singing. And he took the mic and said, shut up. Wow. I don't know what happened. Maybe our general was here, shouted at him, because he just came from the office. He was smiling when he came to church, to enter the office and came out angry. Came into the church, went to came on the stage, and the choir was singing one song. Yeah. You should shut up! Ha! The whole church. Everybody just went quiet. Then, I was head of the choir, so I wanted to take the mic, and he now said, lead us in worship. As I wanted to start, even you shut up too. He said, that day, it was as if, let the ground just open, let us all of us just enter inside. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Later, I wanted to go and meet him to say, Daddy, I hope we didn't do anything wrong. He didn't give me any chance to explain. Sir, what did we? He said, all of you, get out. Don't say anything. So I went back, I prayed, I tried to cry. The Lord did also not say anything. Then later, when I calmed down, I felt God telling me, When last did you pray for this man? You just come for the service. You don't pray for the man. You don't know what's happening with the man. He said, take it as your opportunity to pray for him. But I was like, God, I want to explain. No, we demand an explanation. I'm sure God was looking at me and saying, if you don't learn this, your journey long. And many of such things. So let me tell you, how does God deal with children? How does God train them? Number one, by instruction. Number two, by discipline. Oh, my, everywhere is quiet. Pastor is finding our trouble. Tell everybody, wake up! Instruction and discipline from fathers. And then you can also put in bracket the dealings of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 1 to 4. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Everybody, verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You see? A child just talk. The one that concerns you, you talk. The one that's not concerned you, the one that's above you, the one that's beneath you, you talk. The one that's around you, everything, you must have something to say. I just want to say something. I just want to say something. I just want to say something. Now look at that one. Not just things which are not convenient. There are some things that as you begin to mature, you cannot just talk like that. You don't just play with those kind of jokes. There are some, I was trying to bring out some for you, but I said, even me, it's hard for me to say some of them. Are you getting me? It's hard. I'm not saying don't be funny, but no, sometimes some of you know what I'm talking about. You are gisting and gisting, and the Holy Ghost is telling you, it's okay. You have talked enough. This joke is enough. Is enough. Is enough. Just see somebody walking. See your leg like Paco. See your, where your leg, your. And you're still talking about the person's leg. You're talking about, you keep going on. After a while, from a joke, the person now begins to get angry. Like, okay, it's okay. Why are you talking about my leg like this? And you just keep on going on and going on and going on. And the Holy Ghost is telling you, it's okay. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope you are blessed. I anticipated this response. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The next stage is the manhood stage, the stage of becoming a man. And even in being a man, there are different stages. There is young men and their fathers. All under spiritual, you are men in the spirit, but there is a manhood stage and there's the stage of fathers. Look at 1 John chapter 2 from verse 13. We're going to read all the way down to verse 15. 1, 2, 3, go. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Now, are you seeing that from this verse, we are seeing different classes? Are you seeing this? I write unto you, fathers. So, now, amongst the people that John was writing to, they were fathers. People who not just that they had biological children, but they were spiritual fathers. Are you getting me? Because you have known him from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14. To you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, let me explain something here. Something that it may apply to you later or maybe immediately. Do you realize that before he got to love not the world, he was talking to the young men? Go back to verse 14. He says, I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. There is a stage in your spiritual development where you begin to make serious progress. You are becoming a man in the spirit. But if you are not careful, you can fall into the temptation of using your spiritual powers for worldly things. That's the trap of young men spiritually. If you are not careful, they want to use their faith for all the worldly things. Sometimes they can even abuse spiritual power. Good example. Jesus was praying and fasting in the wilderness. And the devil comes and says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you're not careful as a spiritual young man, you want to abuse power to prove a point. Are they anointed? I want to show them I'm anointed too. Do they have grace? I have this thing too now. Well, grace, oh boy. And the spiritual father will be looking at you and say, this journey is still long ago. Are you with me? Young men are the ones that fall for the trap of rebellion. You are strong, and the word of God abided in you, but love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. That's verse 16. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh. If you check closely, these were the same categories of temptations given to Jesus. Lust of the flesh. Turn the stones to bread and eat. Let me say something here. Wahala. Those days, in many universities, they used to have what they call campus pastors, fellowship presidents. He's discipling this girl, discipling that girl, discipling that girl. If you're not careful, you will turn people you're supposed to disciple to your girlfriend. You start sleeping with the, you start sleeping and touching the person that you're supposed to be discipling. You are still, you, I know you are, you are, you have some spiritual stature, but you are a young man. Grow up. Don't use spiritual power for your personal benefit. Are you with me? Everybody's quiet. Say, Pastor, these shots you are shooting. Praise the Lord. That's why I usually tell my dear sisters and I tell our dear brothers, if you want to, if you like a girl, go straight. Don't go and say the Lord said. God said, I was in a 30 hours vision. The Lord, no. Just say, I like you. I want to marry you. Even if God said, don't try to manipulate the person with your spiritual. Are you with me? So what are the signs of spiritual manhood? That signs that you have matured to becoming a spiritual man. Number one, you begin to esteem earthly things lightly. Where your eyes are strongly on spiritual things. Let me read. You can put in brackets spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. Let me read some verses for you. Verses that will touch you. I know this sermon, I'm not shouting plenty, but I'm giving you things to think about. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 15. Everybody read Luke chapter 16 from verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. That means a spiritual man does not judge things by what everybody is saying, by what everybody is doing, by the person they are hailing the most. You know some people, if you don't recognize them, oh Jesus, anything you do that tampers with their reputation, you just form my hand. Ah! They will be so angry. But you see, when you begin to mature spiritually, it's not everything that has reputation before God. Oh yes, you may have reputation among men, but God looks at you as nothing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Men can be clapping for you, but God is crying for you. When you're a spiritual man, you judge things spiritually. See, even in the choices that you make in life, we will know if you're spiritual or not. Why did he take that job? Oh, he has higher pay. What did the Lord say? Some people are like, why are we talking about what the Lord say? What did the Lord say? You now take a job that you don't have any time for God at all. It squeezes God completely out of your life. Complete. No space. Or you get a job now, you are compromising. They are always putting you in a position where you have to lie. Every time you have to lie for the boss. You have to lie for the boss. Then one day you will now lie with the boss. No, I'm telling you, as a spiritual man, you have to look at things spiritually. What is God saying about this matter? When you begin to mature, not every open door is God's door. And sometimes it's not because something bad will happen, but because something worse may happen. Oh, you may get a bigger car, a bigger house, more money, but then all your work with God will be eroded. By the time you have done 15, 20 years in that so-called open door, you are now chaff. No spirituality at all. The place you had in the kingdom of God is no longer there. Tell anybody, be spiritual. That's the path to spiritual maturity. Even, let me tell you something here. Part of the challenge is, even in the choices of the churches we choose. Why did we choose the church? I like the music. That is great. It's a great thing. But if that is the only thing, there is a problem. If you come and it's all about the music, you know, that means your discernment is not strong enough to know what is valuable. Are you getting me? I just like, they're just fresh. They're fresh. Don't worry, when I go, I will meet people. We'll get connections. Is that a good thing? Yes. Do we encourage it? Yes. But if that's everything, then that's wrong. You are maturing. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 24 that Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called. He left Egypt. Hebrews 12 verse 24. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This will not make sense to a natural man. Like, why would you do such a thing? Why would you leave Egypt and go and be rolling with these slaves? You see, he has matured. When he was come to years. That's the word he used there. Verse 24. Moses, when he was come to years, You see a Christian, he's finding it so difficult to leave those friends that will keep on luring him away. Ah, you're a big girl, drink this. You say, everybody who are drinking Hennessy, you are drinking Martina. People are collecting drink, they drink sugar. A girl walked up to me one time and was crying and said she doesn't know what to do. All her friends are telling her they are shaming her for being a virgin. Say, 26, you have not done this thing. You are still a small girl. They are the ones that are children. You are tossed to and fro. Every peer pressure can put you under pressure. Everything put you under pressure. When you become a man, you can be like Moses. You will face your back against the king. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
God has said, I will do this. I will get it done. God has said, I will stay here. I will stay here and get the work done. It may be tough, but I'm a man in the spirit. Also, another sign of a spiritual man is you are dead to praise and censure. Some people, they easily get puffed up. Pride. You just hear them small. They just, after me is me. Before me is me. It's also an offshoot of childishness. Always talking. There's something called evil speaking. Always talking bad about people. There's something called vain speaking. Always talking about yourself. Always talking about yourself. Some people are not, at the point, even your friends are not comfortable because once they come around you, you have a way of making everybody feel like they don't know what they're doing except you. You know, there are people like that. Once you get around them, they will tell you about all the jobs they have, all the money they have, they will make you believe that, God, am I a spoon? Vain speaking. Then foolish speaking is the one that is called just and not convenient. Tell somebody, I'm maturing. I'm maturing. Another sign of being a spiritual man, you can recognize when God is at work. When God is telling you something. How to recognize God. Remember when Samuel heard the voice of God. But Eli, the backsliding prophet, even in his backsliding state, he was able to say, the next time that voice talks, say, here am I. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. God was talking to Samuel, but he could not discern that it was God. But when you're a spiritual man, you can look at something that happened. Sometimes you can even look at the disappointment and know it is God. Are you getting me? Maybe you were trying to use your car somewhere and it was not working. Some people say, oh God, what, Lord, why is my life like this? A spiritual man say, God has delivered us from something. Father, we give you praise. But the natural man, everything, he will complain. He will complain. Why didn't I get this job? Why didn't I get this? Why didn't I get that? He cannot see what God is doing in the midst of the darkness. Sometimes my eyes are open to see God. So, as I round up, we can't press into the others for today. What are the non-negotiable disciplines for spiritual growth? I'll list them out, and in our midweek service, we'll go deeper into them. Number one, the Word of God. Or what you can put, food. Number two, water. And in brackets, you can put prayers or intimacy with God. That's why it took our time for us to worship and pray. And number three, the right atmosphere. Then you can put in brackets the church community or gathering of the saints, a gathering of other people in Christ. And number four, exercise. Spiritual exertion and the dealings of God. We'll talk about it, all of this, on Thursday. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every spiritual baby in our midst. They are receiving the Word of God and they are growing. For the spiritual children, they are receiving the instruction and the discipline of the Lord and we are growing. For those who are young men in our midst, spiritual young men, we are growing. For the fathers, we are growing. Jump on your feet.